I'm Molly Plunkett, and one of the newer members of this august group. And I'm going to change the tenor. You're done being entertained. And this, my piece is about homage to grandparents. My dad's father died of an asthma attack when my dad was overseas serving in World War II. I never knew him. Grandma Annie Plunkett, his wife, lived until I was a young child, but I have no real memories of her. Louder. Her only reality for me is the lovely red felt Christmas stocking she decorated with sequined appliques that was given to me. She created a unique stocking like mine for each of the oldest grandchildren. I also prized for many years the lovely decorated alabaster Easter egg that I used as a Christmas ornament. Grandma Annie was the source of artistic talent in the family. My middle name comes from her. I only actually remember my maternal grandparents. My mom's dad died when I was six. He and Grandma Sweeney are buried in a picturesque rural Minnesota cemetery not far from his family farm. He lies among his wife's family, the Pharisees. My one clear memory of him is standing in a parking lot outside a large brick building, the VA hospital in St. Paul, and waving at him as he stands in a window of an upper floor. Children were not allowed inside hospitals. He had congestive heart failure, and I would guess was in and out of hospitals for years, because I have no memories of him standing in any house that I remember. My mother described him as a kind, gentle man who suffered terrible migraine headaches during her depression childhood when he was desperately trying to make a living selling insurance to bankrupt farmers. My grandmother Sweeney outlived her husband by only 4 years. I think of her as alone for many years, but maybe childhood stretches out those years, and I spent a lot of time with her during them. Grandma Sweeney was a big woman, big boned and with a big bosom that was soldered into her dark gabardine dresses by a full body corset. From photos, she was nearly as tall as Grandpa. Her genes for height were passed on to one of her three daughters, who was briefly a model, and on to several of my nieces, but totally skipped my own three girls. She wore dresses and dark stockings and high-topped shoes with heels at all times. Her long gray hair was pinned up. Late in life, remarkably, she learned to drive and owned a car. Her rounded gray Nash Rambler looked like a World War II tank to me, and she drove it with fierce concentration glaring over the wheel. Driving with her could be a perilous experience. Once in a storm, she drove over the curb and up onto the grassy terrace of a street. Somehow, she backed off and navigated the rest of the way home. She lived in a small one-bedroom apartment on a busy street. For extra income, she sold magazine subscriptions. I loved staying with Grandma because it was so quiet, and I had her entire attention for a day. As I was the oldest grandchild and a girl and well-behaved, I was a frequently invited guest. I remember her apartment is dark and cool on hot summer days, mainly because she closed all the Venetian blinds on her windows at all times. Her massive furniture had dark mahogany finish. There was, however, one small dark cabinet on spindly legs with a clever door and a metal-lined cavity that especially fascinated me. It was a humidor for storing cigars, though I don't think it ever actually housed any cigars. I don't remember whether she or Grandpa even smoked. For everyday meals, Grandma used ceramic dishes that I loved. It was the Franciscan desert rose pattern, which was so much more elegant than the plastic dishware given out in supermarket promotions that was favored by my mother. Her best china was a delicate gilt-edged Castleton porcelain covered with trailing pink and blue flowers. I always assumed it had been her wedding china and therefore a priceless antique. I fought my sisters for years to inherit that Castleton china set, and when I took possession was dismayed to find out that the pattern was first made in the 1950s and was made thereafter for 20 years. Grandma must have bought it, or more likely wanted as a prize for selling magazine subscriptions at the end of her life. Even so, I use it as often as I can. I went to Grandma's apartment for many sleepovers on the pull-out couch in her living room. Sometimes my younger sister came along. Rarely either of my two brothers. Grandma taught me to knit and to decorate matchboxes with felt covers and sequins. She kept the matchboxes in the humidor. She fixed me chopped, hard-boiled eggs topped with butter and baked chicken served with a side of grape jelly. When I was 10 years old, my birthday party was held in a sand cave carved into the banks of the Mississippi River, a few blocks from my home. It was an outdoor adventure party for kids, exploring other caves, throwing rocks into the river, and generally messing around. It was easy for us kids and my athletic mother to scramble down the steep banks to the cave, but somehow Grandma made it down too. I have a strong vision of her in her regulation dark dress, dark stockings, and high-heeled shoes being hauled down the riverbank by two adults flanking either side of her large person. She must have been in her 60s and not a youthful, fit 60s either. I was amazed she came and still am. My next youngest sister has very different memories of our grandma. She remembers Grandma as a harsh critic of our harried mother and a terrifying figure at night when she undressed and removed her corset, hairpins, and false teeth. Everything fell down. I was with my mother when Grandma was taken by ambulance from her apartment to the hospital. They thought she was suffering from a gallstone attack, but it was a heart attack. I still miss her. A psychic I saw once for a reading at the Wanawak Spiritualist Camp said she sensed a strong female presence watching over me. I said to the psychic, "It's my grandma."